Joe Burrow making slow progress back to practicing, doing a little bit more activity walking around on Sunday, plus other injury notes and camp updates.
You are Locked On Bengals, your daily Cincinnati Bengals podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, Bengals fans, and welcome to another episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lisco. He's your host, James Rapine. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network here on Locked On Bengals, bringing you coverage of your team every day, free and available everywhere you get your podcasts and on YouTube. Today's episode brought to you by Bet Online, who has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts. James, the game hasn't quite started yet for Joe Burrow, but there was a noticeable uptick in Joe Burrow's activity at practice on Sunday. We've got a bunch of other injury updates, a bunch of guests at Bengals camp on Sunday, plus some other notes from Friday's practice we'll catch you up on today, including Evan McPherson having an incredibly hot training camp. In terms of kicks, not temperature, maybe temperature as well, but the guy has been really accurate from really long range in camp, regardless of who has been snapping and holding. We'll get into that toward the end of the show, but let's start with the Joe Burrow update. All eyes, as usual, on the franchise quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. And, well, I jokingly tweeted on Sunday early in the practice session that the next step for Joe Burrow as he arrived on his cart for yet another day of practice was going to be walking to practice, walking from Paul Brown Stadium across the street. And he obviously reads my tweets, because no sooner than I tweet that did he walk around much more frequently, much more animatedly than he has at Sunday's practice than we've seen from him since his surgery.
And he had a ball in his hands for the first part of practice. I'd say the first couple of drills, he was flipping the ball, underhanding it a little bit, you know. And so, yeah, I certainly, as much as we've seen him move around, no, it wasn't a ton, but he was standing there and I didn't see the cart right behind him. He wasn't leaning on the cart or anything like that. He's standing straight up, which we had seen, but not for this length of time. And so a couple things. One, I think it's obviously a good sign. Two, I think it just further hammers home this point that this wasn't just a simple appendectomy, because Joe Burrow was walking 3 weeks after he had his knee put back together. Remember on Christmas when he said it's a good day for the Bengals and he tweets out the video, right? I mean, this guy is tough. He played with the dislocated pinky and all these things. And so not saying he's by the way, did you see DJ Reader said he's the toughest guy in the league during that Madden video the Bengals released on Saturday. But we know that, right? We know he's tough. Well, if it's taken him this long to maybe potentially ditch the cart, I think it is worth noting. It'll be 2 weeks on Tuesday. So good to see, certainly progressing. But I don't think we're going to see him throw footballs this week. I would still be pretty surprised there. But he's certainly going in the right direction.
Yeah, his dad Jimmy Burrow was talking to Dave Lapa, I think on Wednesday they recorded. And at that point in time, Jimmy Burrow said a couple things that I thought were quite interesting. One, he called it a serious procedure when it's not routine, which certainly suggests that it was an open appendectomy, which can have a bit longer of a recovery time than the more typical or more routine appendectomy, which is laparoscopic. They just make three small cuts and send in cameras and do it that way. Sounds like it may have been the open appendectomy where they actually have to cut through abdominal muscle to expose the organ. So obviously more recovery there, and apologies if that is a mental image that any of you didn't want. But in addition to that, Jimmy Burrow mentioned that this was Wednesday, so 4 or 5 days ago now, that hopefully we would see Burrow back on the practice field in 2 weeks. So that does line up, James, with your idea. He's at a couple weeks. Lines up with the idea that we probably won't see him throw this week, and we'll see if that ramps up for him next week. But plenty of other injury updates, some good news, some bad news, some mixed news, nothing catastrophic. One, Drew Sample, who looks like he was having a hard time putting weight on that leg, avoided disaster, dodged a bullet per Zach Taylor. Sounds like he's going to miss a few weeks. Sounds like an MCL. We don't know specifically what it is, but it is not something that will potentially keep Sample out long-term. And the other two bits of good news are Khalid Kareem was cleared off the PUP list on Sunday, returned to practice for the first time in training camp. That's great news. And Eli Apple was back at practice on Sunday as well.
Yeah, it was good to see Eli out there. Obviously, Khalid Kareem is someone that, especially with, you know, these defensive ends, you want to make sure that Kareem can get out there, get some reps. And, you know, it's one of those things where you don't want him to miss too much camp, right? And so good to see him back out there. Good to see Eli. But the one to me that I saw that kind of stood out, Lyle Collins is slowly getting there. He's slowly getting there, Jake. And that's I was watching him today, and he wasn't on the rehab field, but he was working. He was going through different pass sets, working on his footwork, things like that. And then Deontay Smith had that back – his back wrapped. And I thought it was a knee injury when he got carted off on Friday, but he had his back wrapped on Sunday in the locker room, and he was on the rehab field working as well. So two offensive linemen working through it. I wouldn't be shocked if we see Burrow start to ramp it up, but, you know, when he starts to come back, if that's when Collins comes back, because he looks like he's ready to go. And the one thing that it stood out to me today, it was a non-football act. They had this Bengals canopy protecting the radio and big speakers and stuff. And a just gust of wind. I don't think they had gotten the weights down on it yet. A gust of wind had came by and toppled it over, or was about to topple it over. And Collins was one of the guys that caught it. All right. So I don't think you're catching a canopy. And I get it. They don't weigh a ton. But still, if your back isn't in at least decent shape. So I think that's really good news on that front.
Hopefully in the strengthening conditioning part of the rehab process for Collins, no longer in the healing part of the process as much. Many prominent attendees, former coaches, former players, some unrelated players. There were a lot of people at Bengals practice for various reasons on Sunday. We'll get into some of the guests of honor who were there to cover camp coming up next.
Level with me. We've all been in a situation where you need a little extra cash. Things get a little tight. And, well, hindsight is 2020. You can't change the past, but you can get help and boost your future with Dave. Dave is the banking app that can help you get up to $500 instantly with extra cash. It's more money to fill your tank, buy a wedding gift, catch up on bills that you don't know how you're going to take care of them. There's no interest. No credit check needed. Millions of people have already downloaded the Dave app to get the financial relief they need with extra cash. So download the Dave app today in the App Store. It's right there for you. D-A-V-E, Dave, and sign up for an extra cash account and get up to $500 instantly. For terms and conditions, go to dave.com/legal. Instant transfer fees do apply. Banking provided by Evolve. Member FDIC. Future you will thank you with Dave.
James, there were a lot of interesting folks at Bengals training camp on Sunday, and one was a big surprise. I think I saw that Adam Jones, Pac-Man Jones, and Brandon Marshall were going to be there for I Am Athlete. Chad Johnson also there. We knew he was coming. He did a sit-down, I think, with Ja'Marr Chase, similar to what Boomer Esiason did with Joe Burrow last year in NFL Films, maybe? Generations? I think is the name of the series. So they were all there at practice, and there's some good stories to go with all that. Chris Henry Jr. was there with Pac-Man as well. Pac-Man, of course, adopted Chris Henry's son. And the one that was a surprise to me, though, James, was Mike Zimmer. We know his son is part of the Bengals coaching staff right now as an assistant, and Mike Zimmer showing up at Sunday's practice was the biggest surprise to me. But which stood out to you the most, and what stood out to you about each of these various celebrity, former player, former coach guests that the Bengals had on Sunday?
Well, yeah, it's a big surprise. I knew Chad was in town. I didn't necessarily think he was going to make it to today's practice. I thought he was going to make it on Monday. And so who knows, maybe he'll be there on Monday as well. But as far as just observations. Let's start with Chris Henry Jr. And you're right, Pac-Man Jones adopted Chris Henry Jr. and Chris Henry's other two kids, his siblings. So it wasn't just one. They're freak athletes. Adam Jones was so excited to show us highlights of Chris Henry Jr. And the kid is going into his freshman year and 6'4". I shook his hand. He's all of 6'4", long. And Pac-Man was showing me highlights of him. Man, oh, my God, the way he runs. And the thing that Adam really wanted us to know, he's like, man, he's a great at tracking the ball. And that's the part, man. We talk about it during the draft and stuff, right? It's like, how does he track the ball? How do they track the ball with the ball in there? Well, apparently Chris Henry Jr. is and he resembles his dad so much. It's mm-hmm. wild. So that certainly stood out to me. Obviously, anytime Chad Johnson's around, it's a big deal. But the other thing, I think Chad and Adam are both eating Built Bars daily because they're both jacked still. Like, I thought Adam Jones was about to try out, for the open punt returner job. Mm-hmm. And just because I bring that up, I think people are going to be like, man, he'd be better than what they got. Watch, someone's going to say that. And Chad, you know how Chad is. He works out all the time. So they looked really good. Brandon Marshall, a giant. That's the other thing.
He's huge.
He's just a giant human. It was really cool. I tweeted a video of it. Mike Brown talked with Chris Henry Jr., Pac-Man Jones, Brandon Marshall. Spent extended time, probably 10 minutes, talking with Chris Henry Jr. and his family. So I thought that was really cool as well. But really cool to have those guys there. Hopefully we can talk to Chad. I was hoping to today. Didn't happen. Maybe tomorrow if he stays in town, which I think that's at least the rumor. That being said, two other things. One, Chad asked for Ja'Marr Chase's autograph, got it on his shoulder, tweeted that out. And then the other one, the Mike Zimmer thing is interesting because how many – and he is Mike Zimmer and he was the defensive coordinator for years and years and years. But how many offensive analyst fathers come to camp? You know what I'm saying? So it's just interesting. He didn't – he was in the family tent, so it makes a ton of sense. But certainly good to see Mike, and he took a picture with Adam Jones as well. So I'm sure they were excited to see each other.
Yeah. A bit of a reunion, especially for Mike Brown. Mike Brown and Mike Zimmer obviously have a relationship. Mike Brown and Adam Jones have a relationship. Adam Jones has talked a lot about, credits Mike Brown for saving his life. He talks about that being a very special and unique relationship that he thinks is very rare on the planet Earth. And Chris Henry Jr., man, I mean, already has an offer or a scholarship to Ohio State, is a coveted wide receiver. I think he's a sophomore, right, in high school right now?
He's going into his freshman year, I believe.
Freshman, yeah. So young, either way, and already has an Ohio State offer. Already 6'4", you said? Man.
Yes, and he is 6'4". Like, he towers over, and Adam isn't tall.
Yeah.
He towers over Adam.
With the ball tracking, sounds like he inherited that from his dad. Chris Henry was also really good at finding the ball in the air downfield. That's all really cool stuff. I also enjoyed the Chad Johnson jumping for a hug with the current 85 T. Higgins. That was a nice moment. But for Mike Brown, I mean, that's a lot of important people for him, all in attendance on the same day for him to catch up with and connect with and talk to. And, for all the stuff Mike Brown takes from fans over the years, he does seem to really create enduring relationships with a lot of people, and a lot of people that have worked for him, that have played for him, have said really profound things about the quality of person that Mike Brown is, which I've always found to be a really interesting aspect of Mike Brown's ownership of the Cincinnati Bengals.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And that's, that's why he's loyal. I'll say that. I mean, he's loyal and they are changing the way they do things, but you don't really hear anyone that's tight with them or players say anything real bad, honestly. And so you're right. I think that's a good point you made, but really cool to see them out there. Adam Jones is in the locker room too. So I got to see him interact with T one-on-one, up close and personal. Gets to interact with Jamar, you know, up close and personal. Tyler Boyd, same thing. So I thought that's cool, but just good to see those guys back. Now, what I would want is for those guys to bring their cleats, and Adam has to guard Chad, and Chad has to try to beat Adam. That a best of three with Joey B throwing, so he can't throw. So maybe we'll run it back in a couple of weeks. But that's what I want. That's what give the people what they came to see, Jake Lisco. As much as they were there, and there were 1,000 plus fans there today. Come on now. Who wouldn't want to see that? That would get your popcorn ready. I'm stealing the TO line.
I would say that Adam Jones is probably the one that doesn't want to see that. He told Jeff Hobson that he had a groin surgery that he's admitting that he can't play because of that groin surgery. So really? I would say Adam Jones is ready to move on from running around like that.
Wow. I mean, he looks, maybe it's because he was doing all that boxing training, but he looks like he's in crazy shape right now.
Oh, I'm sure he's still working out, but the groin surgery, I think, made an impact for him, according to what Jeff Hobson wrote. So probably Pac-Man would bow out, but put Chad out there in coverage. He would love to try to. I mean, he did, right? He's been in coverage against Jamar and against T, or at least Jamar, right?
Yeah. We saw that last year at some point, I believe. Last camp. Yep.
So we have some football stuff to talk about as well. Some updates on Evan McPherson. I mentioned at the top, has been on fire, and it sounds like Sunday was more of the same in a lot of ways for some prominent themes throughout camp. And we'll get into some of the big notes to finish up the show coming up next.
BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. All your favorite sports, they got them in one place, whether it's UFC, NBA, NHL, NFL, doesn't matter. They got you covered. So whether you want to wager on Joey B to be MVP, or you think that the Reds are going to win it all, and well, let's be honest, not this year, but maybe the Padres win the World Series. You could wager on all that and so much more at BetOnline. I've used them. You should too. It's real easy to sign up. It's free to sign up. You can do so on your mobile device, your tablet, obviously your cell phone, laptop, PC. So go there now. BetOnline, where the game starts.
James, there have been some trends that I've noticed across various writers who have discussed and written about training camp so far, including things like 53-man projections and just common standouts. We'll get to those in a minute, because the first one is that, and you can tell me what you saw on Sunday if he kicked, is that Evan McPherson, for two practices in a row, didn't miss a field goal and was kicking like 5 out of his 6 field goals in practice from 50-plus yards. For 2 days in a row last week on Thursday and Friday. And there was some, I don't remember which analyst it was. Oh, yes, I do. I'm not going to name him. There's been some discussion around kickers not progressing linearly. Kicker regression, especially when it comes to 50-plus yard field goals, when you're not named Justin Tucker. And I would say that Evan McPherson's run of it so far in training camp certainly suggests that he will continue to hit big, deep field goals in the future. And so I just think that that is worth pointing out, that he's consistently hitting in camp, and he's hitting from 50 plus consistently. And that's something that before Evan McPherson, the Bengals have not had in their back pocket in quite a while.
He's a weapon. No doubt about it, a weapon. And you said back-to-back days. I'm actually thinking about it. I personally don't think I've seen him miss in camp. I'm trying to remember. Maybe a miss.
I think there was one early.
Okay. And so, like, that's – they're few and far between. And I know Zach Taylor on his Friday news conference, he almost gave us the stats. He was like, oh, we got the stats. And he kind of stopped himself and said, I'm not going to give them to you. But, yeah, I mean, the kid is just really, really impressive. And the thing that I think we'll see hopefully this year is he's even better on kickoffs too. And, you know, this offense puts him in position to score even more. Right. And so he's great. I mean, think about that. You get two game changers like that, and I'm not ignoring the rest of the draft, but you get a Evan McPherson and a Jamar Chase. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter about the rest of the draft. They already won that draft. moving on to the next one, you know, and that's the type of impact Evans had. So, I don't even know who the hell you're talking about with the regression and all that. I think
that's best.
Silly.
For the best that we don't dive too far into that.
I think that's silly. Why would he get worse, or why would he step back? Like, he's a freak. Like, we're not saying that about Jamar. Just because he's a kicker doesn't mean he's not a freak. And
I think it's the same idea as don't draft kickers. Historically, drafting kickers is not better than not drafting kickers. And historically, kicking 50-plus yard field goals is not consistent for people not named Justin Tucker. But, you know, instead of people not named Justin Tucker, I think we're soon going to be saying, instead of people not named Justin Tucker or Evan McPherson. And there might be some others that come along too. Maybe kickers are just getting better. Because remember when they moved the point after back, when it seemed like kickers in the NFL were just too good? And then since then, kickers in the NFL have been really inconsistent. Maybe kickers are just catching up and they're really good. But Evan McPherson certainly stands out. And it's exciting to see his continued growth. By the way, did you see Justin Reed hit a 65-yard field goal for the Chiefs? Not like with... Yeah, not with like a line going on or anything, just from the 45, from their own 45, he kicked a 65-yard field goal, which for a position player is pretty crazy.
That is insane. I did not see that. By the way, that's the other thing. Chad was at practice. They could have had a little kicking competition.
Yeah.
Really try to push Evan. I don't.
Opportunities missed.
Opportunity after missed opportunity. I wanted Chad versus Pac-Man. Then I wanted him to potentially score a touchdown, and then Chad has to kick the extra point. Jeez.
Yep. If only. Well, there are some other themes I want to get your take on, James, before we get out of here that I've seen widely reported that I've noticed over the last couple of weeks. First is Kwame Lassiter. We talked about him as an undrafted free agent that's been standing out. Sounds like he had another nice day on Sunday, and have seen him start to creep into some 53-man roster projections, potentially pushing Trent Taylor, or in one case, Mike Thomas, which I think is less likely, off of that 53-man roster. Do you think that he's got a real shot at it right now?
I do, and I think his path is that punt returner job.
Yeah.
It just, to me, Stanley Morgan, Mike Thomas, if they're healthy, they just have too much trust of this staff. They're capable. They know where to be on offense. They can play special teams, and they're good at it. So I think both guys are essentially locks. So you're looking at one of two things: either you win that punt returner job, or you force their hand and make them keep seven receivers. Mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty hard to do. So I think he's got a shot. I think he's a pretty good route runner. I think he's got good hands. I haven't seen him drop many passes. So you like what he could bring you on offense, but we're going to have to see it in the preseason, and not just offensively, obviously special teams as well. And so the fastest way, if he can just be solid at punt returner and then show potential on offense, I think there's a shot he makes this team.
And we'll have to see if he plays coverage teams as well. That's one of the things to watch, of course, in the first preseason game, is who is getting those early reps on the coverage teams, who's getting the most reps on those coverage teams, because those are guys Darren Simmons is looking at keeping for special teams purposes. The next one, it sounds, you know, Joe Burrow's not out there. And we've kind of repeated a few times, you know, the defensive line is creating issues at times. The offensive line has some question marks at times. The cornerbacks are playing really well. In particular, Chidobe Awuzie has had some really fun battles with Jamar Chase and has been really sticky. Dax Hill has shown that he can play really tight coverage, I think, relatively consistently. He's been sticky in coverage as well. Saw Dax Hill come on a blitz today and almost get to Brandon Allen on a completion to Jamar Chase, but I think that one was a way in time. You DM me about Brandon Allen's best throw of camp, which was a slot fade to Jamar Chase, which I agree was a fantastic throw. But you go back and you watch that clip, Jermaine Pratt gets there and pulls up before the ball comes out. So is that continuing to be the theme, James? Like, corners playing well, defensive line playing well, defense seeming very promising?
Yeah, I mean, I still think the defense is ahead. I don't think it's as bad as that first day when it was like, oh my God, this again. Like with the trench play specifically. So I think it has improved. I think part of it is you get Kappa some more reps, and the more reps you give him, the better he's going to be coming off of that core muscle surgery. So That's certainly part of it. But the defense is usually ahead early on. And I thought they had a the offense sort of had a bounce back day on Friday. It was a little better. I agree with you on Jermaine Pratt. By the way, on Friday, there were two low snaps. I counted from Ted Karras. Good news is Brandon Allen was able to dig them out. But, yeah, I didn't notice any on Sunday. So I think that was just a, you know, kind of a one-off type thing. But, yeah, even if that snap wasn't low, you're right. Pratt might have got him anyways.
He came clean on a blitz. And when you come clean on a blitz from the middle of the offensive line, that's making it tough.
But what I will say is and Cam Taylor-Britt was in coverage on Jamar there. Jamar's going to beat a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I really was impressed with the way Cam Taylor-Britt responded to the Allen George stuff. Because if you're a second-round pick and now suddenly you're not on with the first team, Eli Apple's down, and a guy named Allen George is in your spot essentially. But Cam Taylor-Britt played pretty well on Friday, got some first-team reps. And then same thing again on Sunday. Had a couple of passes defensed on Friday too. So no, I think he's he understands what there's going to be some up and down moments, and all the veterans, the Cheetos of the world, the Mike Hiltons, have told him short memory, and we know he has confidence. So that's the good thing, is he's confident, and if he has a short memory, he might make some mistakes, but he should be able to move past them.
And he's eager to learn from those mistakes, is what it sounds like. The attitude from Cam Taylor-Britt continually impresses me. I just went back and watched that clip, James, just to confirm that it was Cam Taylor-Britt in coverage. I see 33, which would be Trey Flowers, which coming in the slot, it was a slot fade. He wasn't lined outside on that play. It does make a little bit of sense. So there's that. But it is, I think, noteworthy that Cam Taylor-Britt got back in with the ones before Eli Apple's return. And also, good for Allen George. We talked about this the other day, that he's making that kind of impression, even if we were told not to make too much of it, not to read too much into it. Just the fact that he earned first team reps at all from his position as a college free agent is noteworthy as to just the impression he's made on the coaches so far, and just earning that trust and opportunity to do that, even if it is just for one practice. For a college free agent where there are five veterans or four veterans and a second round pick on the depth chart at corner, I think that does say something about what they think of him. But we'll continue to watch Cam Taylor-Britt. Really excited to see him in the preseason along with all of these newcomers for the Bengals get a better look at Dax Hill, at Cam Taylor-Britt, at Volson, at all these guys on the team who we're looking to see if they're going to make year one impacts. And we're getting there, James. There's a game this week.
Yeah,
we have a game to cover
real football
this week. That's fun stuff down at Paul Brown Stadium. That's going to do it for this episode of the Locked On Bengals podcast. The Bengals are back at practice again tomorrow. We'll have your updates there. Keeping an eye on Joe Burrow's health, keeping an eye on all these dinged up injuries, and looking for some more standouts as weeks go on in training camp. Until next time, Bengals fans, thanks for listening to the Locked On Bengals podcast. Hoo day, and have a good one.